Greetings, this is Brother Steve again with the final message of our series this week on the war that we are in this world. Again, we started out with a question, the Christian life, is it a walk in the park or is it a war? The world, is the world a playground or a battlefield? And then I asked the other question, the life in Christ, a life of ease or a desperate struggle to survive? And we had looked at a number of different things about this battle that we're in this world. So now on this final message, we're going to look at the final victory of the battle, this spiritual battle that we're in. You know, if we look at the story of this world, or basically the story of the Bible, it all unfolds as one great, amazing, interesting story. As you look at the whole thing, in the beginning, you know, how God created all things perfectly, and Satan came and basically through deception took the earth and brought it into destruction by deceiving Adam and Eve. And then from there on forward, it's the whole story of our redemption and of God restoring all things back to where he had begun and making everything right again. And you know, we see as we look at the story, we could start even after you know, you have the beginning there, and then everything becomes so wicked, and then finally God destroys everybody except Noah, and Noah is saved through the ark, and he's brought from the first world into the second world, where the world is destroyed, and then after the flood there, we have again, you know, very quickly a curse coming into the land again, and we see how shortly thereafter there is a group of people that are raised up and they want to make themselves a name, and they built the Tower of Babel, and it later becomes Babylon. And then throughout the rest of the Bible, we read here and there about this Babylon, which is basically the system of this world. It's the ruler of this world. It's the government of this world is this Babylon. And then we have the city of Jerusalem very, very early on there. We have Abraham offering up his son on Mount Moriah, and then becoming the Temple Mount, and all throughout the ages we have the city of God, which is Jerusalem, and you have the city of this world, which is Babylon. And so then in about the middle of this story, you know, you have the rise of Jerusalem to its height, and then finally Jerusalem is taken captive by no other than Babylon itself, the world system. And so, again, from there forward, there's this redemption story, and then Jesus Christ comes on the scene, and he's the Savior, and then he is killed by the prince of this world. But then through his death and resurrection, redemption has come to all mankind, and that is what is continuing to unfold as we live through this life, and we are part of this story of the continuation of the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles, or the Acts of God, you could say, of the Holy Spirit, and that is continuing until this day. And then you finally come to the book of Revelations, where everything comes to a climax, and finally, you know, you can go to Revelation chapter 18, where this Babylon is finally completely destroyed, and that's all a mystery of where is this Babylon and what is it, and we don't know that, but it's basically a world system. It's something that all the worlds have trusted in, you know, for their trade and everything. It seems like maybe it's a wealthy nation, and that finally comes to nothing. And then you have the city of Jerusalem, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven, and that's the final victory, when finally all tears are wiped from their eyes, and all sadness is gone, and everything is restored back to its perfect condition again. And that's what we're going to look at here. We see in Revelation chapter 6, verse 9 through 11, says, "And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw on the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony of which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto them, every one of them. It was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and all their brethren should be killed as they were, that should be killed as they were, should be fulfilled." And so here we see that there's those who have fought the good fight of faith and have been victorious and are there under the altar. They are crying out, "Lord, how long? When are you going to avenge our blood? When is this all going to end? And we're finally going to have the victory." And God says that it's just a little time. There's a few more that need to be killed, and then it should be fulfilled. And then Revelation 20, verse 7 to 10, we see, it says, "And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up to the breast of the earth, and compassed the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven, devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever." And there we see the final victory, where Satan himself deceives the nation to the point where they decide to gather, everybody together, to war against the holy city, against God himself, and against his people. And finally, God has had enough, and he sends fire down from out of heaven and devours them all and destroys them, and Satan is cast into the lake of fire. And then in we have a few verses here in the 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 through 18. It gives us a little bit of an idea of that hope again. "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words." And this is an instruction for us today, that we are to comfort one another with these words, that Jesus is coming back, and we're going to go with him, and we're going to have that opportunity. I talked a little bit about faith and how faith is looking into the future with hope, which is the opposite of fear, which looks into the future with fear and being afraid of what might happen. And faith looks into the future and looks to God and believes that it will be all right. And here is where we are to comfort one another with those words, encouraging one another that Jesus Christ is coming back again. And then in Revelation chapter 21, verse 1 through 5, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful." And so here we have again this wonderful promise, this wonderful thing that we can look forward to. And you know, when all things start deteriorating around us and even as on this very day, you know, we have on the news the story of the shooting, school shooting in Connecticut, where you know, a whole classroom of little children are killed. And so we have all these things going on all around us, and these things are only going to get worse as time goes on, and we get nearer to the end, where finally God is going to destroy everything, and he's going to gather together those who believed in him and gather them together to be with him forever. And so that is the hope that we have, and that is the thing that we want to look to. And when we are overcome with fear about the pain and the things that we might see and we might face, you know, of death and suffering and all those things, then we, with Jesus, must, as it says in, I think it's in Hebrews one place, it says that for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. And so, even so, we can look past all the pain that we see, and we can see the joy that is coming beyond all of that. And when we look at these promises, and that is what faith does for us. And as we look at those things, it enables us to go through a lot of pain and suffering when we know that beyond that is bliss for all of eternity. So I just want to encourage you with those words, and just leave that with you. That again, fight the good fight of faith. Be hopeful. Be faithful. Trust in the Lord. Look at His promises and see what He has in store for us. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, and has come to the heart of man what God has prepared for them. He loved him. And so, all those things we could look at, and just for encouragement, and encourage our hearts in these last days that, yes, the difficult times are ahead, but the victory is ours. And let us remain faithful and not sell our souls for a timely pleasure, as so many have done and are doing in our day. So God bless you. I hope you enjoyed this as much as I have in just studying through these verses and thinking about the fight that we are in, and just wishing the Lord's blessings on every one of you.